Will you turn with me to words you will find in the portion of Scripture read? Psalm 89. We can read verse number 15 of the Psalm. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. And especially these words. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. We have these words in one of the messianic psalms that David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, composed. There is no doubt that there is much more and much less in other psalms that can come under no doubt of the title Messianic Psalms. But the question is this: is there any psalm in the Bible that one can completely, totally separate from the person and work of Christ when he is, bearing in mind that he is the Word? And if he's the Word, how can we separate him from any other psalms? So some of those psalms, we have more of Christ in them than others. But whatever the Word is, he's there. He was the Word that was made flesh, and that the Word that was with God, and the Word that was God. Now, for a short while this evening, and hopefully with the Lord's help and blessing, we could look at these words. What did David have in mind when he said, the joyful sound, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound? What joyful sound that he had in mind? And secondly, we could look at what is it to know the joyful sound? It is not what it is to hear the joyful sound, but what it is to know. And what is implied, finally, that the people know the joyful sound, they know it because they are blessed. Well, to begin with, there need not be a single doubt in your mind, or in anyone else's mind, what had David in mind when he said, the joyful noise. There is only one sound that can claim that, as no other sound can, and that is the gospel. The glad tidings of salvation. And the gospel, what do we have in the gospel? The unsearchable riches of Christ. It has no meaning apart from his glorious passion, or apart from his office as a mediator. The only mediator that is between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, or apart from the fact that he is a redeemer and the savior of sinners. And of course, this was the sound, and what a joyful sound it must have been to the shepherds when they were tending their flock in Bethlehem, when an angel of the Lord presented itself, and of course then deliver this message to them. We have it in these words. In these words, in the second chapter of Luke. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. What a privilege. What a blessing they had. It isn't amazing too. And it is not in one sense that they were afraid. They were afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. He's none other than Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And that is the joyful sound that David had in mind. But I can hear you say, did David have the gospel? And yes, and he had more than the gospel. If we can get to that too. And how did he have the gospel? Well, he had the gospel in the promise of God, the promise that God gave to fallen man, and which was a promise for man, great promise for the fallen man, but a threat to the great adversaries of soul. Christ was there. And of course, he had the promise too in the gospel. It was a promise, but it was the gospel. Because we are told by Paul, writing to the Galatians, that God preached the gospel to Abraham. When? When he promised him, in thee shall all the nations of the world be blessed. That was God's promise. David had the gospel in the promises and in the shadows and types of good things was to come. But we must bear this in mind. The gospel that David had, it was the gospel, no doubt, but it wasn't as clear to him as it is to you and to me. Not as clear. It was not as clear at all, but he still had it. Now, he had more than the gospel. So I think I said that. And how does one come to that conclusion? Well, David believed. I don't know how much he grasped it when he penned these words, but he believed it. It was the fruit of faith and the fruit of the Spirit that enabled him to say, In his own words, that the gospel that he had, in promise, in types and shadows of good things to come, was a gospel and a blessing, the blessings of the gospel, that weren't in no way to be confined to the Jewish nation and people. Well, how do we come to that conclusion? Well, in Psalm 19, we read these words. And I'm just going to quote a text or two to substantiate that. In Psalm 19, David, in that psalm, he says this in verse 2, day hath a speech to day, and night to night, night doth knowledge teach. There is no speech nor tongue to which their voice doth not extend. Their line it's gone through all the earth, their words to the world's end. In them, he said, the sin attempt, who bridegroom life for the goals, and from his chamber as a strong man doth to run his race. Rejoice. That's one text of Scripture. And another one. And it is a messianic psalm from beginning to end. Psalm 72, we read to say, hear him say, and he's speaking about Christ. Who could he be speaking otherwise but of Christ? Men, he said, shall be blessed in him. And listen, and all nations shall him go. So, hear the gospel. And how does he end the psalm? He was praying for this as well. In Psalm 72, what does he say? This is what he said. Now blessed be the Lord our God, the God of Israel, for he alone doth wondrous works in glory that excel. And listen to it. Blessed and blessed be his glorious name to all eternity. The whole earth let his glory fill. Amen. So let it be. That's just to mention a few verses. There'll be many more in the book of Psalms. That David had the gospel. And that he was seen and prayed for the day that the gospel, and the blessings of the gospel, was going to prosper in Christ and through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. Yes. David had the gospel. Well, of course it was the work of God, no doubt whatsoever. Yes. Now the gospel is a joyful song because it declares to us that God so loved the world, that God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And doesn't God commend his love towards sinners in the person and work of his Son, Jesus Christ? For God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now these words of John are beautiful words. Who having loved his own, and it was in this one, who having loved his own, he loved them. He loved them to the end. I often put this word in it. I don't think I'm adding to scripture or taking from it when I say he loved them to the bitter end in this world. Yes, there's no doubt whatsoever about that. Yes, David had the gospel. And of course, it's a joyful sound. We are brought face to face with the mercy of God, with the grace of God, with the holiness of God, and with the justice of God in the gospel. Were that not so, we would have no gospel. But we have the gospel. And of course, when the gospel is preached, we are brought face to face with forgiveness, that there is forgiveness with God for sinners, for the chief of sinners. That there is pardon, that there is peace in and by, through the passion and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a gospel. What a gospel. Yes, we are brought face to face with this great truth of justification by his righteousness, of atonement by his sacrifice, and of complete salvation by his obedience and suffering that was unto death. That's it in a few words. But there is no end to the gospel that David had. And there is no end to the gospel that you and I have. And how we should pray that it would be blessed to others. It's been blessed to ourselves. How we should pray that we would never lose it. Or that we would never lose it. What would we have if we didn't have gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us have been hearing it since we came into this world, and we hope that we'll be that we'll die hearing it as well. Now, in these words too, you could see when David penned them, where he says, "The joyful, blessed are they that know the joyful servant." Well, blessed are them that know the joyful. There is an allusion here, that in these words, to something that was happening in Israel every year. For instance, at certain times of the year, trumpets were blown. Yes. A loud sound was heard throughout Israel. And every sound had a different message for them. And there were joyful sounds to the children of Israel. And the first sound that I'll mention was a trumpet was sound when they would win a battle, when they were fighting their enemies. And when they would win a battle, there was a trumpet was sound, and they would hear it throughout Israel that the battle had been won. What a joy that must have brought. But that joy was nothing like the joy that the gospel message comes to. Sinners such as we are. Yes, yes, it speaks to us and declares to us the greatest victory of all. The victory of Christ over sin by atoning for sin, satisfied divine justice. Yes, his victory over Satan and the powers of darkness. He spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them by his cross. Joyful sound. And did he not overcome the world? Yes. And destroyed death. And brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What a joyful sound to the ears of an awakened sinner, and to the ears of the soul of the believer. A joyful sound, indeed. Yes, and another time when was a joyful sound, when the trumpet was blown in Israel, when they were summoned to celebrate the annual feasts. These feasts, like the Passover feast and another few feasts that were held once a year up at Jerusalem, a trumpet was blown to summon them to go to the feast. And these feasts, in their own different ways, they had no meaning whatsoever apart from Passion, the glorious passion and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the gospel summons us to a feast. And not only that, it invites us to come to the feast. The feast. That's what the gospel is. And commands us. For when the gospel is preached as a command to us to repent of our sins and to believe the gospel. Now in the prophecy of Isaiah were it these words. Isaiah spoke of a feast in chapter 25. I think of the prophecy of Isaiah. Yes. Isn't the word of God wonderful? You know, it's quiet we're not studying and meditating this word. I think if we did more than we do, we would be giants in the faith. Yes. Having faith in God. Yes. And not giving glory to oneself, but giving glory to God. Oh, let's have more faith. Yes. Let us glorify God more than we do. Let us repent of our sin in that respect. In the light of all the privileges that we have. To all the blessings. Yes, this is what he said. Isaiah. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well defined. He's referring to the gospel. What a feast. Well, we are summoned. Even for wherever the gospel is preached, to come and hear it. Yes. And in some of your churches on the island and in and throughout the land, we have, when before a service, we hear a bell, bells being rung. And these bells have declared to those who are in their communities that there is a house of God in the place and that God is being worshipped. And that they're summoned to come and hear the gospel. Yes, you can think of these bells summoning us, but the world is summoning us to come and partake of the gospel. And in Isaiah 55, yes, we have the invitation. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye. Buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not blessed, and your soul and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. Let your soul delight in fatness. Or for your good. Feed upon Christ in the gospel. Then our soul would delight in fatness. I remember a minister that's no longer with us preaching. And he referred to the psalm, that psalm, where the psalm said that God had satisfied him with the marrow. The marrow. And this minister said to, and that was really a pleasant thought. He said, you know, when you kill an animal, before you can get to the marrow, you must kill the animal. And were it not for the death of Christ, you and I couldn't get to the marrow of divinity, of his divinity. To the marrow of what he is. And what he has done. What marrow. If people don't like tasting the marrow of an animal, but you have to break its bone or less. But whoever tasted of Christ, and whoever tasted of Christ didn't want to share it with others. Say with David as well. Oh, test, he said. And see, he said, that God is good. Who trusts in him is blessed. Fear God, he says, none that in fear shall be with want or blessed. A joyful sound. Now, there was another occasion when a trumpet was sounded in Israel. And that was the year that Herod in the Jubilee. That's 50 years. And at the end of 50 years, certain things had to happen in Israel. Prisoners had to be set free. Slaves had to be loosened. And the earth had to be rested for a year. And No, there was something else too. Yes, those who had lost an inheritance would get their inheritance back. Mm. Look at come with these blessings. That they were blessings natural to these people, but nothing in comparison to the blessings of the gospel. Yes, the power of the gospel delivers sinners from the bondage of sin. Yes, and not only from the bondage of sin, but also from the slavery of sin. Frees them from the slavery of sin. We were in bondage. You are in bondage. If you're still a sinner by nature and practice, you are in bondage. And you're a slave to sin. The sin of your nature manifests itself in the sin of your practice. Yes. Freedom from slavery. Slavery of sin. That's from the bondage of sin. And rest for the earth. That's the earth as you and I know it. But we never think of ourselves as the earth. And we are the earth. Even Paul said that as a believer. We have this treasure, he said, in earthen vessel. In earthen vessel. We came from the earth, and earth we are, and every one of us, none of us is going to escape going back into the earth again. Not forever. Bear in mind. And how that comes out in Jeremiah. You remember Jeremiah, he delivered a message to an unbelieving, uncaring for people with regard to themselves or with regard to the souls of others. And he said to them that they had forsaken the fountains of living waters. They had hewn unto themselves broken cisterns that could hold no water. And it was to these people he said, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Are you here tonight as a sinner without Christ? You are the earth. And you're going to be called to account. And let me say to you again personally, O earth, 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 hear. You'll get rest. They asked the Israel, in Israel got rest for a year. You'll get rest from the only one who can give you rest. Who said, come unto me. He said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Glorious rest. Yes. Rest for the land and an inheritance. Adam, before the fall, he had God as his inheritance. God was his portion and lot. And he had an inheritance that was undefiled, incorruptible, and that fadeth away. And who can fathom or prove the depth of Adam's fall and of our fall in him as a covenant head when they rebelled, sinned against Almighty God. But Christ has restored an inheritance. Yes. And none less than God himself. And not only that, it's not an inheritance that has been divided between each believer. Every believer has the same inheritance. God, he said, is of my inheritance. And he kept the portion. And David said unto me, happily the lions in pleasant places fell. Yea, the inheritance I got in beauty to the excel. And what is true of the inheritance? It's an inheritance that is undefiled, uncorruptible, and that fadeth not away. Yes, the joyful sound. And may I add, the joyful sound indeed is the gospel. Do you find listening to the gospel boring? Well, most of the Christians who are here will say when they heard the gospel before it came the power of God and salvation. It was like, it was then like listening to an oration in Latin or in Greek. But when they were quickened, how the pendulum changed dramatically. Yes. Dramatically. Yes. That's a little about the joyful sound. Blessed are they that know the joyful sound. Now, what is it to know the joyful sound? It is to know something that cannot be known. Yes, we can know it, but we cannot know it to its fullness in time or throughout eternity. It's what a noise, what a sound the gospel is. It is not to hear it. Do you notice many have heard the gospel? But that's not the point. It doesn't say, blessed are they that hear the gospel. Blessed are they that know. Gospel that is known, can be known, but unknowable. Can you understand what I'm trying to put across? And to know the glad tidings of salvation is to know through faith and by faith in Jesus Christ. Christ as a personal Redeemer and as a personal Savior and everlasting salvation. That is to know the joyful sound, to know Christ with a knowledge that is spiritual, a knowledge that is eternal, a knowledge that has a humbling effect upon those who imbibe that knowledge. This knowledge doesn't puff a person up. There's a knowledge. The Bible speaks of a knowledge that buffeth up. But this knowledge doesn't buff up. This knowledge has a humbling effect and influence on those who have it in a measure in this life. So, yes, and you remember how the apostle put it. When Christ came into his life, when Christ met him on the way to Damascus, what did he say? I know, he said, whom I have believed. And not only that, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Yes, he had faith in Christ. And he had faith in Christ with respect to what he committed unto him. His soul and his life. And isn't it amazing? Where there is this knowledge, let me put it like this too, that where there is this knowledge, there's a thirst for more of the knowledge. And who will I bring before you to substantiate that claim? Saul of Tarsus. When you know the knowledge that he had of the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we hear pray? That I might know him. And the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Yes. He is the one whom to know is life eternal. Yes. Blessed are they that know the joyful sound. Know they that hear it. Many have heard the gospel, and many possibly shed tears under this gospel. But they never got to know the Christ of the gospel. And they are in a lost eternity. Yes. Now if you'd be aware of the fact, you've got the blessing of hearing the gospel, but are you going to know it? Well, if you won't know this gospel, that I'm trying to bring before you as simply as possible, where will you be? You will not be with Christ. wrote it in, you will be with the lost forever and ever. Blessed are they that know the joyful sound. Yes. Oh, what knowledge this knowledge is. And he just didn't stop there. He said something else. Without, he said, blessed are they that know the joyful sound. What else did he say? Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound, they shall walk. Yes, he said that these are the people who are blessed. Blessed of God and blessed by God. And you remember how Paul puts it right to the Ephesians. And he was speaking to people who had believed to Christ, who had been dead and in trespasses and sin, but they were quickened by the very power that exalted Christ, brought him back from the dead, and exalted him to the right hand of God the Father. That's the power that quickened him. And what did he say to them? He said to them that they were blessed with all spiritual blessings. With all spiritual in Christ Jesus. Gwrwadr ymianochw, lysga hwyl y fianochw spirito, and in Jesus Christ. And who can measure that? Just think, go through the Beatitudes yourself. The Beatitudes, all the Beatitudes, they're embraced in them at Bath. And they're blessed in their life, in this world. That man of perfect blessedness, who walketh not astray, in counsel of a godly man, or stands in sinner's way, they are blessed in their death. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. And they will be blessed when Christ come again as a unit, body and soul united, and made, and they will be acquitted by Christ, and they will be made perfectly blessed in the enjoyment of God through all eternity. What a blessedness. Who can fathom it? Oh, who can fathom it? Yes. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Oh, yes, they shall walk, basking into the divine favour on the pilgrimage journey in this world, partaking from time to time of his blessing, soul and in experience, and knowing from time to time something about the Lord's presence, the Lord's fellowship, and the Lord's communion. And not only communion with the Lord, but communion with the saints in heaven and on earth, worshipping the triune God through all eternity. Isn't that what John says in his epistle? You know, and he didn't say, I hope. No, that wasn't how he put it at all. Our fellowship is it. And he was speaking for himself and for the believers that he knew. And to whom he wrote, our fellowship is it is with the Father and with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. What a fellowship. What a communion. And he doesn't stop there. What else does he say? In thy name shall they rejoice. They, as he was saying to them, yes, in thy name, they will rejoice in thy very being. Yes. In thy nature and in thine attributes and in thy word, in thy power and in thy strength. They have every reason, and they will have many reasons, to rejoice in God and in all that he is. What comes after that? Just think of it. They were made righteous in this life when they believed in Christ. But they're going to be exalted in that righteousness. And in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of the strength, and in thy favour our horn shall be exalted. Ah, what a blessing. But I'll leave you with these words. You see, I'm not so concerned about the Lord's people. I'm not concerned about the lost who are here. Sure, there are people here who are Christians. Or will you not cast your lot in with Christ? Believe. Build upon it for time and eternity. Feed upon the Lord's people. And look to him at all times, in every situation. So I'll leave you with these words. Blessed is the people that know the joyful Sabbath. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Let us pray. We pray, O Lord, that thy blessing would rest on us. Bless thy word. Bless thy believing people here and throughout the world. And bless those whom we know who are mourning the loss of loved ones. And others who have loved ones who are hospitalized. We commend them to thee, that thou wouldst, if it be, please thee and be thy will, lay thine healing hand upon them and restore them to health and strength once again. Go before us now, we beseech thee. Watch over us always. And above everything else, in this poor, fleeting world, may Christ, in his glorious passion and work of redemption, precious to our never-dying souls, and pardon and cleanse us from sin for the Redeemer's sake. Amen.